Last week, I happened to run into a man who'd been here at the Church of St. Michael and St. George most of his life, certainly as long as I've been rector. And during the course of our conversation, I may have said something about how, for me as a priest, this was a particularly busy time of year. He expressed some sympathy for me during what he called the Christmas crush of church, the round of liturgies, all the plans to be made, all the things to be done in order that the parish might experience the full panoply of Christmas. True, I responded, things are busy, but this is the time of the year when the church gets to tell some of its best stories. And I went on to say something about the beloved accounts of the Nativity. Even people who never come to church and know very little about the Christian faith know these Christmas stories, I said. Beautiful, beloved, he agreed, but are they true? His comment caught me off guard. Sure, we believe they're true, I said. And our conversation ended shortly after that, but I couldn't get his question out of my head. Are they true? The stories of the babe in Bethlehem, Mother Mary, angels, shepherds, the visiting magi, lovely stories, but are they true? Are we reading little more than fairy tales ending with, and they lived happily ever after? Harry Potter has some rollicking good stories that are great to hear, but every child knows that Harry Potter is fantasy, not reality. Few would ask after hearing a reading of Treasure Island, but is it true? The story is fiction, not history. But maybe my friend meant the question, are they true, in another way? Maybe he asked, are they true? Not in the sense of, is this fantastic account of a manger and angels documentable, historically viable, verifiable truth? Perhaps he meant true in the deeper sense. Can I trust these stories to be a truthful account of the way things really are? What if he meant truth not in the sense of, did these things happen just this way, but rather, are these reports a truthful depiction of the way things happen right now, today? Oh, these Christmas stories are lovely, but do they point to some deeper truth, some larger claim that is greater and even more important than Yuletide mirth? And that's a very different question. I don't think it makes much difference if Jesus was not really actually historically laying in a manger, but laid in a crib instead. But it makes a great deal of difference if Jesus, as a baby or an adult, was the Messiah, God's Son, God's with us. Is that truth? The truth toward which all these Christmas stories point, is that true? And if it's true that Jesus was the Messiah, God's Son, God with us, what difference does this truth make? And what kind of truth? Is this a churchy, sentimental, candlelight and poinsettias truth that consists mostly of warm, fuzzy feelings you get on church on Christmas Eve after you've had one too many eggnog? Or is it the sort of truth that makes a difference the week after Christmas, when we leave the warmth of the creche at Bethlehem and flee to Egypt as homeless refugees, or face the threat of harm by cruel people, or fear violence at the hands of those who want to oppress us? Are these stories true then? I think those very important questions are why Matthew tells us a very different, frequently avoided, rather horrifying Christmas story, the flight to Egypt by the Holy Family and the slaughter of the babies by the wicked King Herod. It's a tough story to read any time of the year, but on this Sunday, right after Christmas, this story is really difficult. Part of me wishes that Matthew had allowed us to linger a bit longer with the Magi, those exotic visitors who bring exotic gifts of adoration to the babe in the manger. But Matthew won't allow us to make Christmas into a sentimental celebration that we would certainly prefer. Matthew jolts us with a gritting, troubling story of violence by a leader who sees the advent of Christ as a threat to his political power. Matthew moves us from the fantastical and mysterious story to one that is as horrifying as this morning's headlines. Say what you will about this Sunday's jarring story from Matthew. You can't say it's not realistic, whatever else you may want to say. Not true to the way things are, things have always been, and things will be to come. The real world of nations and politics and their attendant violence. Here is a story that tells the unvarnished truth about us and about how low we and our leaders can sink in an attempt to protect what we've gotten from threat, including the threat from God's Messiah. Herod, as terrible as he was, at least targeted a specific group, male children in Judea. Today's workers in violence indiscriminately set off bombs in marketplaces or swoop down by drone. Herod ordered the massacre in order to preserve peace, his peace in Judea. Today, there are people who do deeds in the name of God, saying they kill in order to foster righteousness. W.H. Auden, in his Christmas oratorio, For the Time Being, presents Herod as terrified that this infant will be a threat to the civilization he has created. Naturally, this cannot be allowed to happen. Civilization must be saved, even if this means sending for the military. How dreary. Why is it that in the end, civilization always has to call in the professional tidiers, instructed to exterminate? Oh dear. Why couldn't this wretched infant be born somewhere else? Why can't people be sensible? I don't want to be horrid, W.H. Auden has Herod say. How can people commit such violent acts? You know, we do it in order to preserve power or acquire power. The group or the nation that's able to lay scruples aside and use violence to overpower, to intimidate, to terrorize the opposition is the group that maintains power. By the way, to tell the truth about our violence, we always work violence, declare war, bomb, invade, kidnap, for the best of reasons. It's always to preserve law and order, to maintain peace, to ensure the stability of society, the status quo, the way things are, to keep the rabble in their place, and to be certain that the right kind of people are in power. And that's what Herod wanted. That's why Herod targeted these babies. Jesus' birth upset the balance of power in Judea. King, did you say? Herod asked the visiting magi who followed the star in the east. We already have a king in Judea, and it's me. I'm the true king of the Jews, Herod says. To tell the truth, we haven't come very far in humanity's attempt to get our act together. Powerful people fearful that they may lose some of their power. Refugees, political unrest, the strong pressing their boots on the necks of the weak, little children being ripped from their mother's arms. You haven't told the truth about who we are until you've told this story from Matthew. And yet, our gospel is true in another, more significant way. Matthew, in his account of the Holy Family's hurried escape into Egypt, in his grim report of the slaughter of the innocents, is not only telling the truth, the hard, cold truth about us and our violent world. Matthew is telling the truth about God. God? Oh, God is high and lifted up, aloof, at some distance from this bloody mess we've made of things. God is up in the starry heavens. We are down here in the grubbiness of life. Those assumptions about God held true through human history until the time when a star led people from the other end of the world to a village called Bethlehem. And a poor peasant family bore the Savior of the world. And the king, in his effort to preserve his power, targeted little children, and mothers wept, and little Jesus was pulled from his crib and taken as an undocumented refugee, immigrant family, to pagan Egypt for safekeeping. And then we knew that most people were wrong about God. No, now God is with us. God isn't serenely aloof in the heavens. God is here in Bethlehem with the poor, out in the cold with the refugee family, with the weeping mothers grieving for their children whose lives are cut short. Wherever Mother Rachel weeps for her children, that's where you can expect to find Emmanuel, God with us. The truth, that's the truth of Christmas. Good news, Christmas is true. This story, as difficult as it is to hear, tells the truth. It's not only a tough truth about unjust rulers and violence by which they prop up their power. Matthew insists we hear this story because he wants to tell a more important truth. The birth of Jesus into our world, into our often violent world, where violence is worked against the innocent. God is not aloof, uncaring, or uninvolved. Here comes the king. Here comes a very different realm than the one we know, than the one we have made for ourselves. Amen.